You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Misinformation has caused undeniable social and political rifts, arguably since the beginning of time, but definitely in the past few years. Social media giants have responded with things like warning labels on potentially contentious content, but now a study from the University of Cambridge offers a new approach known as inoculation theory. Today I spoke with Dr. JT, a senior lecturer at the University of Auckland, about the study and its implications for the fight against misinformation in our near future. I started by asking for a definition of misinformation in the first instance.
Yeah, so misinformation is any kind of misleading information to the public. So often it's done for fun, you know, without any harm or ill intent, whereas disinformation is, misinformation spread with ill intent towards the people.
What have the tangible outcomes of misinformation been on society in the past couple of years?
I mean, I think we are facing several political and social crises due to the spread of online misinformation, you know, protests outside the parliament, COVID-19 misinformation, the anti-vax groups and such. So we are seeing, you know, its impact not only internationally in America and such, but also locally. So I think it has quite a big impact. In fact, misinformation is quite rampant. According to a survey done last year by the Classification Office, half of Kiwis have some level of belief in at least one statement associated with misinformation, and 20% of us have at least three such misinformation beliefs, which range from, you know, scientists are lying about our safety of vaccines to believing 5G communications causes COVID-19. So, you know, I think it's quite rampant here locally as well as internationally.
And to move on to the resolution, what is inoculation theory?
Inoculation theory is very much like vaccines, how vaccines work. So we try to get people a very, weakened dose of a virus so that the body learns, in this case, the mind learns the tricks and strategies used by information manipulators. So once we learn based on a weak dose, we'll be able to recognize, just like, you know, our body, any kind of misinformation, we are able to spot it, we are able to report it, and hopefully when our family and friends bring about that in misinformation, we are able to correct them, both online and at dinner tables.
And what psychological processes lie behind inoculation theory? How is being kind of cognizant of the possibility of misinformation a good preventative measure?
Yeah, so we have been trying to tackle misinformation online, right? So during the COVID, social media giants like Facebook and Twitter, they have been having sort of what you call a warning label, but apparently, you know, that has had some mixed results, the government's own misinformation correction campaign. So it has been sort of a mixed result. So instead of, you know, reaching people after they have been exposed to misinformation, can we reach them before and hopefully, you know, teach them some of these strategies that is used by, you know, people who manipulate misinformation either for ill intent or not. So if we can reach people, help them understand these manipulation strategies, the next time they get exposed to misinformation, say on vaccines, on climate change, on democracy, they will be able to spot it no matter the issue and, you know, therefore help spread misinformation that goes on social media.
And how did the published study from the University of Cambridge implement inoculation theory?
Yeah, so they did very well-designed lab experiments and a real-world experiment on YouTube. What they did was they showed people in the lab a few kinds of, you know, manipulation, the popular manipulation techniques used by misinformation spreaders, such as, you know, scapegoating, false balance, very emotive language to, you know, evoke a strong response. And they found that once people are inoculated, so to say, about the strategies, once they learn about these strategies, they're able to spot it in other social media posts. And they did this amazing real-world experiment on YouTube where they showed this inoculation videos to, I mean, millions of people, and some of them who saw that were able to spot the misinformation technique that they just used. So it is amazing that people are able to spot the misinformation techniques. They're able to spot such similar kind of misinformation on, you know, other social media posts, and that it helps them understand who is trustworthy and who's not trustworthy, what kind of a, you know, social media post is manipulated or not, and whether they should be sharing such kind of manipulated posts. So it helps, you know, sort of help have a healthy online hygiene when it comes to misinformation.
And is it feasible for us to implement these concepts to actually mitigate misinformation?
Yeah, so I think that's a bigger challenge because I think, firstly, with these kind of studies, it is likely that people who are on the far end of the spectrum of misinformation are probably not taking part in this kind of, you know, university research surveys and such. So probably we are not, this is called as a small pockets problem, you know, people who are really on the extremes, we are unable to reach them. So we don't know if these techniques work on that. And the study focused on sort of entertaining, you know, anecdotes and such, whereas, you know, most of the misinformation are closely held beliefs about, you know, about vaccines, about wellness, about health, you know, about my child, kind of vaccines that should go into my child's body and such, and politics and about our way of life. So when it comes to those closely held issues, we need to still see if people are willing to, you know, move away from misinformation. Because I think misinformation is not just, you know, information that we wrongly trust, but we often trust it because it aligns with our ideas about the world, you know, probably is a reflection of our own isolation from the political apparatus, the inequality in the society. So it could be representative of all the other social inequities now getting represented as misinformation. So while it's easier probably to educate people on the misinformation strategies, but the motivation behind that are more entrenched social problems.
And what entities could realistically be responsible for carrying out these hypothetical projects to combat misinformation?
Social media companies, for sure. In fact, they should be willing to share more of their data with researchers so we understand and develop evidence-based policies on misinformation. So I think the primary responsibility still lies with the social media companies to decrease the spread of misinformation. Government should be doing much more in not only bringing out policies, but doing information communication campaigns to help people understand misinformation and how to avoid it, report it. And so as local communities, just talking to your family and friends is so important, even though we know that, you know, misinformation has caused quite a lot of strife within families, right, especially when it came to COVID-19 vaccine and vaccination. So while it can cause a lot of interpersonal strife on dinner tables, but we got to still reach out to people, you know, who might be believing in misinformation for a lot of other reasons.
And at an institutional level, I suppose, what do you think the logistics might look like? For example, economically, is advertising using inoculation theory the most economically viable thing to do? You noted in your comments to the Science Media Centre that it costs the researchers just as little as 5 cents per view on YouTube.
I know, that is amazing, right? It just costs them such a little amount of money. And probably social media giants should be doing this on their own, that is using videos such as these, which are found to be effective, on their own and, you know, doing it for free. I think government can also do a little more localized work, trying to help people understand the inoculation. So I think it's great, very cost-effective way. But again, we don't know what are the other ways and how much do they cost, for example. And we don't know what are the long-term impacts. So it's nice to see the 5 cents per view on YouTube. Looks very cost-effective, but, you know, we don't know what are these long-term effects, and we don't know what are the costs of other misinformation mitigation strategies.
And it's kind of a tough question, but how can we maintain a diverse society where different groups of people's knowledge is valued and understood equally while also battling things that are just simply not true?
That is a great question. And it is true that we are a diverse society, and some of us might have really strongly held beliefs, and that influences how, you know, we see the world, we see politics, we see the role of institutions in society. There is no easy solution, but I think what some of the people who are probably prone to misinformation are seeking is they feel that their voices are not getting heard. You know, they don't see the promise of the collaboration that the government and other institutions in society promises them. So I think those are sort of channels that probably would be more effective, making people feel their agency in at the local level, at the community level, at the national level, making them feel heard would probably go a long way.
And is there anything that I haven't touched on that you think people should really know about the issue?
just want to reiterate how tough it is to change people's, you know, information if it's once it's formed. And that misinformation is not just people believing in crazy stuff, as we'd like to call it, but that it sometimes it's just the deeper ideas about society and where they function, the social inequality, the speed of technology change. So I think we should be more empathetic towards people who might be falling for misinformation. But I think helping them understand that they are being tricked is a very effective way, at least this is what the study shows.
That was me speaking with Dr. Jagadish Thaker, a senior lecturer from the University of Auckland, about a new study from the University of Cambridge that offers a strategy for combating misinformation online using inoculation theory.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.